I'm going to speak briefly. I was expecting to speak briefly today, which is important in a service like this, but I do want to touch on the issue of missions. This has been our focus this month, and last week we heard from the Browns, Alan Melinda, and I've been speaking from especially the book of Acts, which is kind of the missions manual for the church. When we talk about missions, we often think, you know, we want to go and touch nations and touch cultures, and that's certainly accurate, and that's certainly true. We want to touch people groups, entire groups of people. But actually, just like sharing the gospel in our own culture, in our own circumstances, our mission, our calling actually is to touch individuals through our relationship with the Lord and through our relationship with them. And hopefully God will use that to reach many more, to multiply far beyond what we do. But when it all boils down, it boils down to the person that's in front of you. The conversation, the opportunity, the encounter that's right at hand. And I want to focus on that just for a few minutes this morning. True missions is rooted in relationship. And we see this in the book of Acts, chapter 16, verses 1 through 15. Let's look at it together. Acts 16, 1 through 15. If we can pull that passage up. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. This is Paul's second missionary journey, by the way. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him. There's this relational aspect. In fact, as we read through the New Testament further, we see that a very deep and abiding relationship was formed, a working relationship was formed. This mission, we will see, was rooted in relationship. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him as he's going from place to place in these lands that were foreign to him. And he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places. For they all knew that his father was a Greek. I'm not going to try to explain that. Circumcision was an issue with the Jewish believers, and that's why it was important for Timothy to be circumcised, because his mother was Jewish, and he had not been circumcised. And so as a Jew representing the faith to Jew and Greek, this is important for Paul to do. I would have to say it's an unusual way to start a relationship. As we go on to the next verse, as they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decision that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. And so the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily, and they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, which is modern-day Turkey, Asia Minor. And now listen to the next few verses. Having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia, that's a small province that they would have been passing by. And then the next verse. And when they had come up to Mysia, another location, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. And so, passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So, setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and following a day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside where we supposed there was a place of prayer. We sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. And one who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. That means she was not Jewish, but she actually was beginning to attach herself to Jewish groups who would pray together. She was interested in the God of Abraham. Isaac and Jacob. Many of Paul's converts on this missionary trip were called God-fearers or worshipers of God. They were Gentiles who had already expressed an interest in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he just completed the circuit for them by preaching to them the Lord Jesus Christ. So she was a worshiper of God. And here's what it says. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, if you had judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us. I want to talk a little bit about rooted in relationship for just a few minutes. Several points. Missions, the concept of cross-cultural missions, the concept of going out to other peoples, other people groups, people that we would never have met or encountered otherwise. Missions, cross-cultural missions in that sense, is rooted in relationship. First of all, it's rooted in relationship with God. These men are going out at God's command. Some chapters earlier, we saw that God had said to Saul or Paul and Barnabas, separate from me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work to which I've called them. They were sent forth by the Holy Spirit. They were doing God's business. They were doing God's will. And they went out to preach in areas and places with people they had never met, never encountered before. They usually started at the synagogue where they would find receptive hearts, both among Jews and these God-fearing Gentiles who had not made the leap of becoming a proselyte, a full convert to Judaism. And their hearts, many of their hearts were ripe, as we see with Lydia here. But it was their relationship with God that propelled them forward. It was their prayer to God that prepared them and inspired them to go forth. God was speaking to them to do this. And frankly, God had already spoken to the entire church. All authority has been given unto me. Go therefore, in heaven and on earth, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe whatever I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always. That was the last command of Jesus Christ. So here the church, for the first time, is doing missions on purpose, not by accident, but on purpose in a strategic kind of way. And Paul now is going out on his second journey. And so this journey is rooted in his relationship with God, his co-workers' relationship with God. And that relationship determined what they did and how they did it. The lordship of Christ was sovereign over their work. It wasn't just a plan, we're going to do this, 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 and this. No, we're going to go forth. And as we go, we're going to expect the Lord to speak to us. And he did. It's just the Holy Spirit forbade them to speak the word in Asia. I don't know what that means, how that happened. Somehow the little band knew this wasn't the right thing. And then they wanted to go down to another place. But the Lord told them, no, no, not here. And as they went down to their third location, in Troas, that's where Paul had the vision. And the Lord spoke to them, okay, now we're on track. Now we're ready to launch what I want to do with you. So they were sensitive to the Lord. They were in relationship with the Lord. They were listening to the Lord. And corporately, they were doing as the Lord asked them. Paul had a ministry. It was a grace gift. He understood it wasn't at his disposal. It wasn't his to determine how it was to be used. It was the Lord's to determine, and Paul was to act in obedience. He was not imposing his agenda on the purpose of the Lord. He was trying to be sensitive to the Lord's agenda. Ministry is never ours. It never belongs to us. It belongs to God. And it is his agenda, not our agenda, that he is calling us to, and he's calling us to be sensitive. Lord, what are you saying to me through this circumstances, through this voice, through this activity, through this sense of the Spirit acting, through my brother or sister who wants to help me see the direction that you've ordained for me? We have to realize our calling, our gift, our ministry is his. It's rooted in relationship, and it is to be disposed of, accomplished, carried out his way. So, It's rooted in relationship. I once tried to impose my agenda on a church. Actually, probably wasn't once. But I remember this one especially. We were in Slovenia. We had been working with a group of 40 students in two churches who had received students from a seminary in Croatia during wartime. It would be like housing 20 people in this building and 20 people in the building next door and having classes. And those churches opened themselves to us so that we could do classes and work with the students who were from all over post-communist Europe. Could you imagine having 20 students? I'm not talking about 20 students in once a week, once in a while. I'm talking about living here in the basement and having their classes upstairs for 9 months, okay? That's what was going on in two separate places. Well, they had me in that particular church preaching a lot. And I just assumed they really, really were very happy with that arrangement. So I assumed they were very happy with that relationship. Some things you shouldn't assume. So Easter Sunday's coming up. Says, okay, well, I'll be ready to preach for you Easter Sunday. And I just sensed a little hemming and hawing. And they said, well, okay. And you have to know the culture. They didn't want to say to the great missionary coming in, no, we don't want you. Even though they didn't. And they said, okay, go ahead and share. I got up to speak on Easter Sunday morning. And you know, there was like this wall. I said, something is not right here. Something's not working. What's going on? You know, like the electricity's just not flowing. After the service, one of the children of the pastor walked up to me who had not been well, and he appreciated the help, and he wanted others to share in many of the services. It was certainly their desire. But in this case, the son and daughter of the pastor came up to me and says, you know, that's the first time in 30 years that my father has not spoken to this congregation on Easter Sunday morning. You know how big I felt? Like, about that big. I hadn't insisted, but I had imposed myself. Paul was an imposing figure. He was an imposing presence. He was certainly proactive and aggressive. But he also was very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And he heard the voice of the Spirit, and he knew where he would be received. Missions is rooted in relationship with coworkers, not just with God, but with coworkers. They were discerning together the will of the Lord. What does the Lord want us to do? It wasn't just Paul determining this, but together. The Lord forbid us. The Lord told us not to go in this way. And then Paul, the leader, had the vision, and they together came to the conclusion that they were to go to Macedonia. Now, there's an interesting thing going on in this passage, because missions is rooted in relationship with coworkers. I don't have time to go into this in detail, but this passage is they did this, and they did that, and they concluded this, and God forbid them. And they can't go to Asia, they can't go to Mysia, but they're kind of forced down into Troas. And once they get to Troas, it goes from first person plural, third person plural, to first person plural. It's not they and them. If you look at the voice, it's we and us. We concluded that we should go to Macedonia. We traveled here and there. So what is happening here? What happened was God forbid them to go into Asia. God forbid them to go into Mysia. And God somehow led them to Troas. And when they got to Troas, you know what happened? The they became an us. Do you know why? The them became a we, because in Troas there was a man named Luke. If you look carefully at that passage, that is where the team met up with Luke, the doctor, and he joined them. And by virtue of that connection, we have the book of Acts, we have the book of Luke, and Paul has a co-worker that is unlike any other, with the exception of perhaps Timothy. Missions is relational. It's about a relationship with God. It's about a relationship with co-workers, with one another. And God can divinely ordain how we come into contact with people. I want to tell you a little story. I didn't pass this by Chris and Biljana, but I'm just going to tell it anyway. Many of you don't know that Chris and Biljana, Chris, forgive me, I've told this story before, I think it's okay, moved here from South Carolina, is that right? You were in church in South Carolina, and they moved to this area, and their pastor happened to know one of the directors of our network, John Manzano. They talked to their pastor, who talked to John, who called me, who told me to get in touch with Chris and Biljana, and those connections, those relational connections, are why they first came here to this church. Divine providence, divine appointments, but that wasn't all. The day that Chris and Biljana came in, Biljana being from Romanian, of Serbian background, her mother, Katica, was with her, who spoke Serbian and really wasn't able to have a conversation with anyone other than her daughter, came in, and we met them right away as they came in the door, and we began speaking in Serbo-Croat. So she had her first conversation with someone other than a relative. And then that exact first day that they showed up, our speaker and our focus was Brother John Kisama from Kenya. And there was a connection. Is this all true? Am I making this up? Very true. A divine appointment. And I think there was a confirmation that rang in your heart and said, this is right. This is right. God uses divine appointments. God uses relationship. God uses connections that honor him and that forge bonds. We could tell a million stories. You could tell a million stories. So Paul has this relationship with his co-workers, with Timothy, with Luke, and the discerning the voice of the Lord together. Thirdly, missions is rooted in the relationship with the people to whom we go. We go as servants. We go as those, as Jesus did, not to be served, but to serve. Not as the experts, but as those who need to understand the people to whom we go and what their need is and how can we best minister to them. God, what have you given me for this people? It is not about the nation. It's about the people of that nation that are right in front of you. It's not about all of Macedonia for Paul. It is about Lydia, who is right in front of him and with whom he connects. Missions is rooted in relationships. Sometimes we miss the forest for the tree. It's not all of those people. It's that person across that boundary and that border. Missions is rooted in relationship with the people to whom we go. We are servants. We are not masters. And I want to tell you something. Western missions, American missions, if we get a bad name, we've done great things through missions through the centuries, great things. If we get a bad name, it's because we don't have that attitude that we are masters and not servants. We are the knowledgeable informing the ignorant. That is such folly. That is such arrogance. I have a good friend who is the president of the Presbytery of Evangelical Pentecostal Churches in Croatia. He has a saying, when I catch a whiff of arrogance, I walk the other way. because God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So our mission is rooted in relationship. It is rooted in a servant's heart. It is rooted in a recognition of the value of the people to whom we are sent. There's a lot of things you can mock when you go to other places because the cultures are different, the customs are different, even the words are different. There's a lot of mocking that can go on, but you know what? Mocking is a two-way street. I'll never forget. I'm going to get a little vulgar, but it's okay. When using my Croatian, instead of telling my students not to write in their books, I told them not to urinate or pee in their books. You can do stupid things. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Pisha and Pisa are very close words. So Lydia's at the riverside. They establish a relationship with her personally. She says, if you deem me worthy of the Lord, come and stay with us. It's not about our ministry. Yeah, I mean, that's important. It's about our relationships. It's not about protecting our ministry. It's about protecting our relationships. And we protect our ministry to the extent that they enhance our relationship with God and our relationship with those to whom we go. That's what it's about. Mission, ministry, mission is rooted in relationship. Now, Christ's mission was indeed to the masses. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He did come for the whole world, the masses, every nation, kindred, people, and tongue, everybody. But he also came for each one of us. We're to adopt his attitude. We are to be concerned for the nations, the kindreds, the peoples, the tongues. But you know what? We're not God. What we really have to be concerned about is that contact, that divine appointment. Karen prayed for divine appointments. That divine appointment that God has placed right in front of us, whether across the ocean, across the mountain, across the street, or across the county, or across the dinner table. 1 Peter 2, 24 and 25. He himself bore our sins, all of our sins, in his own body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you personally have been healed. Everyone, but it's got to come down to you. You have been healed. Christ's mission was to the masses, but also to each to us. And Christ's mission starts by connecting with you and continues by connecting through you. We see that in 2 Corinthians 5, 18 to 21. All this, speaking of the gospel, is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the whole world to himself, not counting their trespasses against us, and entrusting to us, you and me, individually, the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. You see, true mission is rooted in relationship. God connects with us that through us he may connect with others. Not just the many, but the one. Let's keep that in mind as we continue to ask God to show us how he wants to use us not only now, but in the future.